Blog Talk Radio.
With Pet Psychic Radio, and I'm here manning the switchboard and doing the show by myself today because I is still in Japan. And just a little update for our listeners who are keeping up with I has had her liver taken out, 30% of her liver taken out to give to her mother to save her mother's life. And I had the surgery on July 4th. She was in the hospital 10 days before that in Japan, and she's been in the hospital since then, and they want her to stay in the hospital another month, but she's trying to get out sooner. I spoke to her last night, and she's sorry that she has to miss the show. Her computer went dead, and but she's, just to let you know how she's doing, her pain level is pretty high, and she's got some stuff going on in her body that makes her a little bit nervous, but she says she's getting better and better every day, and that she feels like her organs are all having to fit back into her body without 30% of her liver. So she's feeling, before she went in, she felt like she was in really great health, and now she just feels like she's been set back a little bit, but she's getting better and better, and she's glad that she did it. Her mom is still in the ICU, but they told her that I's liver is beautiful, and her liver has taken to her mother, but her mother's still in the ICU, so send lots of prayers out to I and her mother that they both make a quick recovery. So thanks for all joining us today or joining me today. Just some things that the call-in line is 917-889-2693. Again, that's 917-889-2693. You can find us on Facebook at Pet Psychic Radio or Laura Stinchfield. And my website is thepetpsychic.com. Again, that's thepetpsychic.com. Okay, so one of the things I want you guys to do today is when you call in, I'm going to try and get to as many callers as I can today. So what I want you to do is tell your animal exactly what you're going to ask them. And just kind of picture it in your mind, like, why do you bark out the window so much? Kind of picture them doing that and the kind of feeling of why, and tell them that someone's going to be talking to them and tell them to listen to the show. I get a lot of emails about how their animals have been, people's animals have been listening to the show. So they do understand everything that's going on. They not only get it through the airwaves, which I don't know how they really do that, but they do. But they also get it. Whatever you're thinking about, your animal can pick up. So tell them to listen. And, okay, and also, so when I get you on, what I want you to do is just go right into your animal. Just tell me who your animal is, their name, a good description of them, what species they are, that's important, and whether they are dead or alive. I'll assume they're alive unless you tell me they're deceased. And I'm going to try to get to as many callers as I can. And we also are going to have our guest on today, and I'm going to be watching her to see when she's calling in, and she's from Best Friends Animal Society. And that's Rose. We'll be calling in later, and we're going to talk to Chop Chop, a little puppy from the organization. Okay, I'm going to take our first caller, and I'm going to also say the last four digits of your phone number when you're on the air, okay? So have that handy in your mind so when I say it, you know it's you. So right now I'm going to pick up 0909. Hi, you're on the air. You're on Pet Psychic Radio. Are you there? You're
on the Hi, it's Rose.
Oh, Rose, it's you.
It's me.
Perfect.
How are you?
Great. So this is our rescue guest, Rose. Rose, thank you so much for coming on today.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about yourself and your organization, and then we'll get into talking to Chop Chop.
Okay. I have been working with Best Friends for several years now. I've fostered for them a couple times, and I also volunteer for the Agora Animal Shelter. I'm a huge animal lover. I'm actually vegan for my compassion for the animals. Has nothing to do with health or any of the new stuff that's coming out with Oprah. It's all has to do with my love for them. And I really just all am about education and educating and, you know, people about proper skills or just anything they need to know to bring a dog into their life. I work with mainly dogs.
So what do you think is the most important thing that people should know when they bring a dog into their life?
That it takes commitment, and especially if it's a new dog from a shelter, that there's a transition period. And I always tell people, whether it is 2 days or 2 years, there's a time where it takes a while for the dog to get to know who you are, you get to know who the dog is, everything, you know, it takes time for a family just, you know, and I include the dog as part of the family, to really just get it and to get the routine down. Because sometimes people get a dog and they just don't want to put the time involved. And after a week, they decide, I'm just going to return it back to the shelter. So
yeah.
That's very frustrating for me. So I really try to tell people that if they put the time and commitment in the beginning and work with the training and you know, really be diligent, they're going to have a great dog for the rest of its life. And it's going to, you know, fit well into the family. But people don't really get that. They expect, oh, I'm just going to get a dog and it's going to work out perfectly in a day.
Mm.
And that's usually not the case. So, and the other thing I think is really important that people don't really understand is, you know, the shelter that I volunteer for is a beautiful shelter, but they are a county shelter and we do put our dogs down. And so a lot of people think we don't kill our dogs there, but we do. Okay. And people just return dogs. You know, they think it's like time to trade in a car and they'll drop an old dog off and try to get a new dog. And they don't realize that we're going to kill your dogs a lot of the times. And so that's why I think education is a key, because I think it's unfair for the dogs that we are putting them down for no good reason.
Yeah. And so do you feel like, have you ever caught people like that who are returning in their dog because their dog is like jumping on them or, you know, and wanting
all
another
the time.
Dog? And
all
have
the
you convinced them to keeping their dog? What can you...
Well, I usually, yeah, I mean, it really depends. There's sometimes people I don't believe should even have an animal because their lifestyle isn't, it doesn't work for them. I mean, they either have brand new babies and, you know, I try to explain to them if it's a family with young children or who just had a kid. I know they have that idea of like white picket fence, family and the dog outside, but concentrate on your baby first, you know, and then bring a dog in, because it is like bringing another kid in. And a lot of times the parents don't have enough patience to deal with another animal. Or, you know, so I usually try to steer families with the small kids away from the dogs until they're absolutely ready, because I also think it's important for children to be old enough to learn dog signals. So that way, if they are doing something, they'll know that, oh my God, this dog may try to bite me or hurt me. But because they're so young, they don't know how to read dog language.
Yeah,
and we
so
get a lot
agree
of
with you. So what do you tell children? Because I find that really interesting. You know, I teach a lot about dog body language, and, you know, I think that's so important for everybody to know.
Right.
So what do you teach children about reading dog body language?
Well, it depends on the children. So at the shelter, basically, I start with the parents first, because it's the parents' number one obligation, I believe, to control their child. Because in the home environment, that, you know, it's their responsibility to watch their child at all time and to watch the dog. So I usually, even if I come, it depending on how old they are. So if they're really young, it's definitely the parents first. I let them know, you know, not just to make sure that they always call the dog's name before approaching it, because waking a sleeping dog can be very startling. You get a lot of bites that way. I teach about positive association, so that way every time the kid approaches the dog, there's always something good that comes out of it, a treat, something sweet and gentle. So the dog associates good things with the baby as, or the kid, as opposed to, oh, my God, this crazy kid is, like, running after me and I don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
You know, and just with the soft and the and then not, like, staring at their face, like, getting in front of them and being challenging at all because, you know, dogs – see that as challenging, and just putting their hand out instead of just, you know, because I've been involved with a rescue where I had a chow who did not like children, and as much, and I'm a crazy dog person, so as much as I was protecting that dog from the public, you know, from the children, a kid reached over through, like, some shelves that I had the dog cornered in, and the dog turned around and bit the kid. And, you know, so it's that kind of thing. It's like you always have to know, you know, parents need to tell their children. You don't just reach out to random dogs or stranger dogs without first asking the person, can I pet your dog? Does your dog like children? And doing it in the appropriate manner, not just like thinking every dog's okay to grab or kiss or hug or any of that stuff.
Yeah, it's so important. It's so important. And so you also do work for Best Friends Animal Society.
Right.
And they're
right.
based in Utah, correct?
They have their big sanctuary in Utah, their no-kill sanctuary, which is amazing. I have not been able to go up there yet, but they have programs where you can actually go and volunteer for a couple days or a week, and they have all sorts of animals. You can actually take a dog in your little bungalow and sleep with you, and they're really just amazing. But I work with their mobile adoptions. I was working with their mobile adoptions that they would have at some of the parks throughout L.A., but now they opened up a facility. They took over a facility in Mission Hills. I guess the city didn't get funding, so Best Friends came in, and they've turned it into an amazing shelter.
Neat.
Yeah, where they run. So I've been there and, you know,
and
doing whatever we need to do for them.
Is bestfriends.org, right? It's
bestfriends.org. Yes, bestfriends.org.
Yeah, everybody should check that out. They have an unbelievable reputation.
They do, and they are not. There's a lot of rescues out there that can teeter on, you know, hoarding or just you know, not taking care of their animals. But this, it is an amazing organization. I'm really proud to be a part of their group.
Right, and it's neat that they're branching out into other states and becoming big. Yeah.
And they actually transport dogs into other states that don't have a lot of small dogs. So I was there last week at the shelter, and they transported 65 small dogs to Utah. Because for whatever reason, Utah has mainly big dogs, and there's a need for smaller dogs. And so instead of killing them in the high-kill shelters here, they pull them and then transport them into other places where they can actually have the chance of living and being adopted out. So it's, I mean, they really are just amazing.
It's so amazing.
Yeah.
So tell us about Chop Chop.
Okay, so Chop Chop's what I call my gangster dog. If you can picture him, we think a Tibetan Spaniel, King Charles mix. He's brown and black with maybe a hint of Pekingese in there somewhere. And he looks like he would be this royal, really sweet dog, you know, living the high life. But he is a thug, and we love him. I don't know much about his previous life because he was a dog that lived at the Baldwin shelter, or that got pulled from the Baldwin shelter on the day he was going to be killed.
Oh, wow.
And then he ended up living in the kennel for a while. And at one of the mobile adoptions, I said, "Oh, I have my other dog got adopted out. I'll foster him." So, and I think he actually kind of chose me that day. I just said, "Hey, you know," I asked one of the head volunteers, "Hey, which dog should I take to foster?" And he kind of jumped on my lap, and I said, "Okay, I'll take him." And I've actually had him ever since. So.
Okay, and so you want to ask him things like what ailments do you feel and how
you
become stray?
I'm not sure how old he is. He was actually supposed to go on a transport. You know how Best Friends had mentioned that they take the smaller dogs to the other states. He left on a transport, and the veterinarian over there, because they have to meet certain requirements, you know, they can't be too old and stuff.
Right.
And he I guess was too old. The vet thought he was about 12 years old.
Oh.
And then he got sent back. Another vet had told me around 7, so we really don't know how old he is.
Right.
So I kind of want to know.
I don't know how old he is, because it's like children, like if – and I think, too, like, if we don't live in, like, where a place where there's, like, snow every year, the seasons are really, you know, you can tell the seasons. They don't necessarily know how to count years. Some animal communicators can get that from them, but I think that they're doing it more from a psychic standpoint than actual communicating with the dog.
Okay.
But let me ask him, like, do you think you're 12? Like, he might know if he thinks he's that age or if he thinks he's younger than that. Because he's kind of, like, feeling of how long 12 is. Like, he might not say exactly how old he is.
Right.
Okay, let me get him and see what he has to say. And
chop.
And he's like a, what did you say he is? He's like a Tibetan Spaniel, Pekingese.
King Charles.
He's really cute. He's got this cute little underbite.
Yes.
He's adorable. I want to tell my mom I really like her.
Okay.
I want to tell my mom that sometimes my hips are sore.
Hips, mm-hmm.
My hips, yes. But then they feel better when I walk more.
Okay.
I need to do a lot of stretching. Sometimes my eyes sting.
Okay.
I fight to see sometimes.
Hmm.
Sometimes it's harder for me, especially in low light. And then other times I feel like I know people really well, so I see them really well. So he has a really good sense of smell.
Okay.
It's like my eyesight is a little crooked. It's interesting. It's not really, like, fully blurry. It's just, like, a little off, too.
Yeah, and that makes total sense to me.
I love my mom and dad a lot.
Aww.
Are they going to keep me?
Oh, yeah.
I will.
If he wants to stay here at this point, he's welcome in our hearts.
I want to stay because I don't have the energy to go somewhere else. It takes a lot of effort to get to know people. I love to be kissed and hugged, but I only like it for a little while. If it gets to be too much, it hurts me. It's like squeezing his body. Like, you know that feeling of, like, having a bruise and then somebody squeezes you? Like, it kind of hurts, but it doesn't, like, really, it's not, like, super painful, but it, like, kind of is uncomfortable. That's how he feels in his shoulders and his hips when he gets hugged. I like soft food. And I like food that's really juicy when you bite into it. I like chicken, and I love to eat tortillas. Does he eat tortillas?
I don't know, unless he's getting little pieces here and there.
Yeah, he might have also had that at his old home. You know,
right.
Like sometimes if he had a Hispanic family, they might have just fed him like
throw him
chicken
tortillas.
Stick and tortillas, which I think he's talking about with the cheesy and the... I became a stray because I got put in the dumpster.
Oh, no.
The neighbor didn't like me barking, so he put me in the dumpster.
Oh, my God.
Does he bark?
I'm sorry?
Does he bark?
He does bark, but he's not a aimless. I mean, he just
he's
doesn't
not, like,
walk around barking.
I bark at them through the fence all the time.
Yeah.
They climbed over the fence and they grabbed me and they put me in a dumpster.
Oh, my God.
I climbed out, but then I got lost. Oh, sad.
Oh, my gosh.
I liked my family. They were kind to me. But one time I had an ear infection and they didn't notice for a while. But then they did notice. and they had to put stuff in my ear and it hurt. Do you have ear infections now?
Not that I've noticed.
Good, good. I wonder why he got that. Maybe from all the corn from the corn tortillas.
Oh, maybe. Gosh, yeah.
What else do you want to ask him?
How about the pack he lives with now?
Who does he like the most? There's like this reddish dog that I kind of like. Do you know who that is?
Uh-huh.
I like them a lot because they're really smart. They tell me all the time what to do. Has he been buddies with that dog?
The reddish dog?
Yeah.
Not in the beginning. He fought with him a lot.
Oh, but how about now?
The dog, his name is Simon, he's talking about has either become submissive or they've just worked it out, I guess.
We worked it out. I just needed to learn. I wasn't used to so much bossiness. Now I'm just like, whatever. Some of the dogs here have problems. One of them has a really bad stomach ache.
Oh.
That's the one with the pot belly. You know who that is? Is there like a tan one that has like a pot belly? Kind of a big belly?
No.
A beige?
Big belly.
Or blonde?
Well, the Simon is like white and reddish and tan a little bit.
Is there like a pit bull mix?
Yes. But he's black.
Oh. Is it the black pit bull mix? No, it's a blonde belly.
Oh, maybe it is Simon then.
Yeah, stomach ache.
Okay.
We all need choo-choo bones.
Oh. He won't get them, unfortunately.
Oh, you can't have them, Chop Chop. Sorry. What about bone marrow bones? Can I have those?
I have tried before. Because I don't give them bones, one, because I don't want them fighting over the bones, even if I separate them, but they get so crazy and excited that I've had a couple of them chip their teeth.
Oh, really?
The raw bones. So, yeah, so I just figure it's best not to.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't chip my teeth, he says. Hey, Mom, I'd like to go in the car with you.
Oh, okay.
Why don't you take me in the car more?
Yeah.
You can tell Dad that I love it when he's on the floor with us.
Okay.
Is there Dad?
There is my husband.
Aw, he's sweet. So he's got a home for life. Should I tell him he's got a home for life with you?
He can stay if he wants to be here. Would he prefer to be in a home where he was the only dog?
I don't think so. I think I have my family now.
Oh, great. And then what about, does he ever miss his old home and the old owners?
Yeah, I miss them a lot.
Aww.
They were like my buddies. They did a lot of stuff with me. And I went everywhere with them.
Aww.
It was hard being out on the street. And I was like, why haven't they found me?
Yeah.
But I'm okay.
Does he remember the shelter at all?
Huh?
Does he remember the shelter at all?
Yeah, the shelter is stinky and dirty. No, thank you.
Yeah.
So cute. I would think any shelter would be stinky and dirty. You know what I mean? It's like even the ones that are really clean.
Yeah.
And dirty. It's like,
Now, can you ask him why he has bit or bites other dogs and us sometimes?
Okay, yeah. And then we'll do that to the last question because
okay.
I've got for all these callers.
Okay, sure.
Oh, no, but I could talk to Chop Chop all day. He's so cute. So why does he bite other dogs? Because they're going to step on me. I'm like, get out of my way. So is it like overkill? Is it like he's going after them too soon?
In the beginning, he was, and it was hard for me because he would attack my other dogs. Then just, you know, like I said in the very beginning, like that transition period, I was very frustrated at one point because I wanted to protect my dogs. I mean, he was kind of the outsider. And there was times when I thought, well, you know, we got a trainer in a couple times, and I was thinking maybe he needs to go to another foster family because I have to protect my own dogs.
He worked it out. Yeah, he keeps saying, we're all fine now. We're all fine.
Yeah.
And he says it was overwhelming to read so many. Like, it was just hard for him to read more than one dog at once.
Now they're fine. And see, it took, like, 2 years for that transition period for him to finally get it, I think, because where we used to fight every 2-3 times a week and do some, you know, some injuries, now maybe it's, like, once a month where he'll try to snap at one of the dogs. But for the most part, I think everyone kind of got it. But I think, as I was pushed to the edge a lot of times and I was going to give him up, but I didn't.
Yeah, good for you. Thanks so much for taking care of him and sticking with it.
He's taught me a lot.
It's so neat. Okay, so what's the website where people can get a hold of you or any of the dogs that or any of the organizations that that you support?
Through Best Friends or the Agora Animal Shelter, those are the two right now that I work with the most.
Okay. So that's
a couple of the other
bestfriends.org. And does the Agora Animal Shelter have a website?
It's the LA County.
Okay.
It's animalcare.gov. And I think you have to pick specific shelters.
Right, to find all the animals that are adoptable.
Mm-hmm.
Well, really,
and if you know, and I can give you my email address if anyone is looking for it, because I'm also part of what I love to do is help people find the right animal. So because I come across so many dogs at the shelter and at Best Friends, if they want to email me, you know, and say, hey, I'm looking for a dog, then I'll be more than happy to help them. It's really hard for me for people to call and want to give up their dogs because they'll get an earful from me.
Yeah, just don't call to give up your dog. Only email
if they're
you
looking.
Want.
Right, and do you have my email address, or do you want that?
Yeah, do you want to say it? I have
sure,
it. I'll post it in the chat room, and you can...
Yeah, it's rosedelfino@live.com, and Delfino is D-E-L-F-I-N-O at live, L-I-V-E.com.
Great, Rose. Thanks so much for being on today.
Thank you. I appreciate it, and you guys have a great day. Appreciate what you're doing.
Aw, thanks, and you too.
Thank
you. Well.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Okay, I'm going to take another caller. We're going to go to 3854. That's 3854.
Thank you, Jill.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. So tell me your animal.
Okay, it's Chubbs. He's my love bug. He's a pug. And we believe we got him from a shelter, so we believe he's around 9 or 10 years old. And he had passed away this last, on January 10th.
Oh.
Yeah,
and
he's just,
he's a
fawn colored.
Oh, okay, and what do you want to ask him?
I just need to know that on the day that he passed, myself and my son, which is, we call him his daddy, the vet had us waiting in the other room for him. And he had passed away in the other room, and I just need him to know that we were there, that, you know, we wouldn't leave him, we wouldn't do anything like that. I just need him to know that Mama and Daddy were there for him.
Oh, nice. And was that your choice to be in the other room, or did the vet have you do that?
the vet had us wait in the other room because we were waiting for another doctor to come in and do a specialized x-ray on him, and Chubbs just didn't make it. None of us knew that he was that sick. So I just need my love bug to know that we were there and we love him very much.
And you didn't get to say goodbye, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And that's hard.
Yeah, that's really hard.
He's my love bug, and I'm just very proud of him. He was brave, he was strong, and he helped me so much. So tell him thank you for his mama.
Tell my mom I met a nice lady when I went to heaven.
Oh.
And she told me you're a handsome dog.
Oh, yes.
She said she's very good at numbers and baking. Do you know who that is? Is that like a grandma of yours or a friend of yours? So very
numbers
often and baking. So, and the numbers could be like just have to do with baking, like the ingredients. But they sometimes when the animals say that they have been met by people on the other side, it's very often somebody that you know that has passed away, and it doesn't mean that Chubbs had to have known them in Chubbs' life. It could be because an ancestor, an old friend of yours that is coming for your dog just because you love them.
Okay.
She sings pretty songs, too. And I want Mom to know that I'm not alone.
Oh.
And here in heaven, it's really pretty. And I can walk and see myself how handsome I am.
Oh.
I'm kind of a funny thing for somebody to say. Did he have a lot of pride?
You know, every day that he was, you know, when we would wake up, I'd always say, oh, Mama, love you, and your mama's love bug, and I would say, oh, you're such a good boy, and I would always say, oh, you're just so cute, you're just so handsome.
Oh, so maybe he's saying that he has somebody that can do that for him now, too, in heaven, like he's not alone.
I just love him so much.
She said that after he passed away, he kissed you both all the way when you on your way home. So he said that he was. And I still go with them. I lie under the table a lot and on the couch. And sometimes I do spins around the room.
Oh.
And I'm very thoughtful.
Yes.
I talk to them all the time if they're having a problem. I have very good advice.
Oh.
And I want them to know when they think of me, it's me.
I know.
And tell them it's okay if they get a really cute other dog. Have you gotten one already?
No, I've been kind of waiting for him because I have a lot of medical issues, and so I always talk to him, you know, every day, and I'm going, oh, you know, maybe you'll come back as Mama's service dog. So I don't know.
He says he's great in heaven, but he'll find you someone. I'll find you someone good.
So he won't be coming back.
Well, with reincarnation, it can be really tricky. Like he says, like right now, like he's not ready to come back. Like he likes being in heaven. A lot of people don't understand that. They think like, why don't they want to be with us, you know? But actually in heaven, they can be with us at any time. So they can have that feeling of living with us and being present with us at any time that they want. So it's not as big of a need for them to come back, you know, with some rare exceptions. But he's actually having a really good time in heaven, and he feels like he can help you more, like he can give you wiser answers to your dilemmas from heaven, and he can help you. Like what they can do is like put thoughts in your head, and it's kind of like your intuition. Oftentimes you think it's your intuition, but it could be a loved one in heaven actually giving you those answers. But he says that he'll help you find someone. But time in heaven is so different that I think people sometimes, like, he could change his mind and still be back right away. You know, it's like time is so, it's like it's so different. He could live lifetimes in a blink, pretty much there. So,
right.
So we never really know. But when he says he'll find someone for you, that also is really special, because the next dog you have will be really special because he'll make sure of it. Yeah, so you probably won't get the wrong dog if you're really, like, focused and looking for the right dog.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he just knows how much that we all love him, right?
Of course. Oh, Mom, of course I do. And every time you think of me, it helps me grow.
Oh, he's such a love bug.
Better. Aw, thanks for calling in.
When I talk to him, he can hear me?
Yes, he can definitely hear you. So for all of you that have pets on the other side or on this side, as long as you are clear about what you are saying, yes, they can hear you and they will answer back. Sometimes you might not hear it right away. Sometimes you might hear it. There's like a lapse in hearing it, and that's only because if your unconscious is having a hard time receiving it quickly, you might receive it later when you're in the shower, when you're lying down in bed, or when you wake up in the morning. But yes, they will always answer you, always.
And you know, I keep hearing this whispering, like when you are talking to him or all the animals when I listen on your show. And I hear this whispering. Is that you talking to him?
Yes. So what happens is when I whisper like that, that's the animal talking in real time. Like, but I sort of filter it first because sometimes they say things that I think like, oh, maybe that's not the best way to phrase it, you know?
Oh, right. Okay.
I whisper it first and then I say it.
Uh-huh.
And so when I'm whispering, that's your animal's answer. And then pretty much I say it right, exactly the way they say it. But every now and then I'll like, for instance, if the dog is telling me that they've been hit by somebody, they may say it really nasty. And I am like, whoa, maybe, like, I want people to learn from when they abuse an animal. And so I really judge it. Can I say it that nasty? How will that person take it? And then I'll change it. I mean, and sometimes it's just me being like, you know, I feel a little bit more secure filtering everything before I say.
Okay, you sometimes kind of have to clean it up.
Sometimes I have to clean it up, but not always.
Okay.
All right, well, thanks for calling in.
Thank you so much, and just tell him if you can give him a hug and a kiss from his mama and his daddy and his grandpa and everybody.
Oh, he cares.
And we love him.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, 1-885, you're on the air.
Hi, Laura, it's Tora.
Hey, Tora, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm calling about my fish. I'm so excited.
Oh, your fish. Oh, how cool is that?
Yeah, so, Lily is a goldfish. And
what kind of fish is it, did you say?
It's a goldfish.
Oh, it's a goldfish. Okay.
Yeah, and I think his name, he keeps telling me his name is Marigold, but I call him Ohm because I don't know, something like that. And I want to find out about his past life and to stop stealing my suckerfish's food.
So can he have some of your suckerfish's food?
It's actually his food, but he needs to leave a little for the suckerfish. Like, the suckerfish will be on the food and then I'll chase him away. And it's funny, like, I'll visualize where his food is. I'll see the food and he'll go exactly to where I'm looking. And I'm like, damn it, that was the food for the suckerfish. Like, why am I thinking? So I have to literally walk away from
him. He says it's a game you play. It's a game we play.
Okay, good.
So maybe you should, like, picture it somewhere else, too. You know, like, put it in a different couple different places.
I do. And then I really try not to play the game.
He says.
What?
I'm growing. And I'm getting hungrier and hungrier. And I want a place that's smooth on my back when I swim through it. So he wants a tunnel that's smooth.
Oh, that makes sense.
I've had a past life, and I wasn't a fish.
Ooh.
I was like a glider. I was an animal that glided through the water. I think it's a frog.
Yeah, maybe. I pictured us together as fish. I don't know if that was something or what.
Oh, let's see. I think my mom and I were together. I imagine us being fish all the time. I'm like, come on in here, fishy. I think he wants you to be a fish.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I wonder, like, what is there something else that sort of glides through the water that is a fish that wouldn't be a frog?
Maybe those bugs, but no, the snake.
I don't think it's a snake.
They do have those fish, though, that kind of, I don't know. There's a lot of animals out there, you know.
Yeah, right, right. It kind of looks like a frog.
That'd be cool.
I love it when you meditate, Mom. I think you're levitating. I'm thinking she's getting air. Do you meditate in front of him?
Yeah, he's right next to my bed because I want to be able to spend time with him. So, yeah, I meditate before I go to bed and when I wake up.
That's so cute.
Yeah, just tell him I love him so much. That's it.
I love you too. I think we should get more.
More fish?
Yes, more fish.
Tell him to put one fish in there for him.
I need three.
Three? Why do you have a small tank?
He wants to be like a school.
Oh, okay. I'll give him three small fish.
Yeah, or maybe two. Because I think three with goldfish is like some big spiritual number. You know, is it going to be two more?
Okay.
Well, thanks, Tora.
Gorgeous.
Let us know if he stops going after the food.
Okay. Thank you so much, Laura.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Okay. 5164. Oh, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm calling because my dog, Zoe, a female Australian Shepherd, has been missing since Tuesday afternoon, and we have looked everywhere for her, and we're very concerned if she's okay or if she's suffering.
I hate to tell you this. I don't do lost animals.
Oh, you don't?
No, okay. But okay. Lori Spagna does. And
Lori Spagna?
Spagna, it's S-A-P-A-G-N-A, and it's Lori, L-O-R-I.
Okay, hold on one second. Let me write this down because I didn't realize I needed a pen.
If you can go in the chat room. Okay, you ready?
Yep.
It's Lori, L-O-R-I, Spagna, S-P-A-G-N-A.com. She is actually going to be our guest next week. Hopefully you find the dog before then. But next week she's going to be doing readings with me on air. So.
Oh, how great. Okay.
Yeah. But give her a call and she will she'll help you find him.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay. Okay. I hope you find him soon.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Or her, Zoe. Her. Okay, 7932, you're on the air.
Hello, Laura, Sean Tanowitz.
Oh, hey, Sean, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing good. So everyone out there, Sean has helped me with a lot of my videos. He's the best cameraman.
Yay, yep.
Good to have you on.
Yeah, my first time calling. I chatted before, but I've had some weird stuff going on here, so I'm see if the dogs have seen anything here. I'm pretty sure there's ghosts here.
Right.
I wonder if they're seeing any spirits.
Yeah, so tell us what's been going on. I told me that you got something going on in your house.
Well, my friend moved in with me temporarily, and he could see things. He actually died in surgery and came back alive, so ever since then he could sense and see things, and things have heightened, like woken up to women yelling, kind of screaming. I saw a vision of an outline of a woman in my bedroom, and the dogs freak out around 4:30 at night a lot of the times, and they run out, they want to see Lee, my friend, in the living room, and
So wait, what are they doing in the middle of the night? What do they do?
They wake up, like, Chelsea's crying, like, she's whimpering, and she wants to get out of my room and go and be with Lee, who's my friend, who's living in the living room right now.
Oh.
And then we look up the apartment, we found out that a plane crashed in this apartment in 1955, and a baby and a woman and the pilot died. And some people actually died out. It just felt like a dark, my friend kept saying, you know, you got to get out of this place, it just seems very dark here, and he just kept getting the message to look up this address and see what happened. So I'm wondering if they're seeing things or...
Okay, let's get them. And tell everyone what your doggies look like. I know what
they look
like.
Becca's a white chihuahua mix, with a white with a brown spot, and Chelsea's like a dog mix, she's brown.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to get them both at the same time, so it's going to be hard for me to decide who's saying what, but I'm just going to say them both. But I'll ask Chelsea, what's going on in the middle of the night.
Okay.
You know what's happening? There's people walking around in the room. And it's this one lady, and she keeps looking and looking and looking. And she just can't find things. And it looks like she's trying to put pieces together. It's almost like I think she's trying to find her stuff.
Mm.
The thing that's scary about her is that her eyes turn black. And then that's what scares me the most. And sometimes she tries to wake Dad up. Do you feel that ever, her trying to wake you up?
Well, you know, I got woken up 2 times in a row with her yelling. Like, I heard a woman's voice yelling, screaming, I don't know what you want to call it. And then one time I saw her just at the edge of my bed looking at me.
Oh. Yeah.
Like an outline of a woman. It wasn't like a full, like a standard person, it was an outline of a woman.
I don't think she's evil. I just think she's trapped. And the longer she's trapped, the sadder she gets.
Sadder?
Yeah, the sadder.
Yeah, because she looks like a fat woman.
Oh, the fatter? No, I said sadder, like more sad.
Oh, sadder. Oh, my God, it's such a big woman.
And it looks
like walking in my living room.
It looks like the child is going back and forth. Like, she's coming back and forth for her mom. Do you see anything with the child? And there's always footsteps. And I don't like to hear the footsteps.
But the hallway going into my room, she doesn't like walking through the middle. She always goes to the edge.
Because there's footsteps there. And I think they're attracted to us. I think they stay with us. God, Sean, I think that they need to be, like, cleared, like, be told they need to go to heaven. Have you told them to go to heaven? Uh-oh. The call dropped. That's kind of eerie, isn't it? Oh, no. That's eerie. So... Oh, maybe something doesn't want them to go to heaven. I don't remember his phone number, so I don't know if I can get him back on. So I'm going to go to 6316. You're on the air.
Hi, Laura. It's Chiquette. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good. We talked a couple years ago about Brody, my little papillon. It's been a while.
Yeah. So what do you want to talk to Brody about today?
Well, I have a couple of questions for him. One, Derek and I were thinking about getting another little papillon, and he's not always friendly with other dogs. Not that he's mean, he's just unsociable, and I want to know how he feels if we did get another dog like him.
I want a small female.
He would be fine with a female then?
One that's brown and white.
Like him.
I like that coffee-colored white. Is that like him?
Yeah, that's what he looks like.
Oh, that's funny. Cute.
So, okay, as long as he would be okay with it. That surprises me, actually.
Wait, hold on. My mom's been talking to me a lot about it. And I've been thinking. And I thought if I got used to one dog, it would be good for me. That's cool.
Good.
That's
yeah,
nice.
That's really good.
Have you been telling him that it would be good for him?
No, I haven't been telling him it's been good for him. I have been talking to him about it, for sure.
Yeah, good.
Because we used to have another dog that was maybe twice his size. His name was Bill. Can you ask him if he remembers him and if he didn't like Bill? Because he just stayed away from us when we had the other dog.
I didn't understand Bill. I didn't understand. But I want to understand. That's when you're going to have to start teaching him, like, the calming signals, like the licking and the yawning and the blinking of the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So when the other dog comes back. Okay, so what other question? I'm going to try and take one more caller before the show ends.
Okay, sure. Unfortunately, it's kind of a sad question, but my husband and I are possibly going to be separating, and I want Brody to go to the best home. Can you ask him where he would rather be? I don't know if you can ask him that.
Oh, that's a hard question to ask in just a few seconds.
Oh.
Hold on, that might be a tense one. Hold on.
Okay.
Mom takes really good care of me, but Dad needs me also. Can't we share?
Aw.
Can I see them both? I can live with both of them. And sometimes when I think they're going to separate, I think it might be better. But sometimes they don't listen to each other. And I think to myself, you wouldn't be fighting if you just listened. You know what I find so interesting about that? Is that he wants to find another dog in the family so he can learn how to communicate.
Okay.
And it might be something like talking about the way you and your husband are communicating, you know? Like he's starting to watch you guys and going, huh, like they're not reading each other. Like they wouldn't be in this if they were reading each other, right? And it makes him think about his relationships with other dogs. That's really insightful of him, I think.
Yeah, he's a pretty smart guy.
Aww. I hope everything works out for you guys.
Aw, thanks, Laura. I know you have to get going, so thank you very much.
Oh, yeah, good luck with you guys. Be well.
Thanks, see ya.
Goodbye. Okay, one more caller. We're going to take 6767. You're on the air. Hello? 6767? I don't hear them.
Laura?
Laura? There we go.
Okay. Hi, this is Adrian. I'm calling about Ozzy again. Ozzy is my black short hair adopted cat. He's a Bombay, and it's taken a long, long time. I mean, we're talking 2 years so far that he cannot seem to acclimate himself to my other cats, and I'm always very hopeful. And the last time we talked, I actually had my other black cat come out, and he pretty much is non-concerned with Ozzy anyway. So maybe it's a black cat thing, I don't know. But anyway, they were okay. But then just a few days ago, I got my other cat, Tiger, out to kind of see if that was going to work, and it just totally did not. Tiger was actually on the couch with me. I was holding him because he's very nervous in the couch. And Ozzy was out too, and I thought, oh my gosh, this is going to be a disaster. And I was actually watching all this happen. And He crept up behind Tiger, and Tiger was facing me, so he didn't see Ozzy at all. And he actually sat down on the couch and behind Tiger, and he was sniffing Tiger around the bottom tail area. And I thought, oh, my God, this is it. This is going to be the miracle. And all of a sudden, he bit Tiger.
Oh!
Yeah.
Naughty little bugger. Okay, so one of the things that I just got from him is that he said that he wanted to try it again, that he wants to try it again.
Okay.
And so one of the things that you want to think about is less is more, okay? So if he sniffs for a second, you pick up Tiger and you walk away because
oh.
he only needs a second. So you want him to end on a good note. And know that a lot of it is body language, and he told me that Tiger has really big eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, and maybe Tiger was scared, and that's why he had really big eyes.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So you see Tiger, like, with his really big eyes, scared, looking back at him, then he's going to bite then because he's getting really big eyes in his face. So less is more, and you want to be thinking not just, like, this is going to be a miracle. You want to be talking them through it the whole time. So lick, yawn, blink your eyes. We're all friends. We all get along together. Lick and yawn. And, like, the one thing that you said, is this going to be a disaster? I forget what you said. You said something like that. You want to make sure something like that does not even cross your mind. And if you say something like that when he's walking up, is this going to be a disaster? Then it's really important that you make a distance between the two cats or the two animals. Because you've just put it out there, and you might be putting it out there because you're fearful, right? And you're shocked.
Yeah.
Situation, or you might be unconsciously picking up something that's happening. So either way, if you're feeling that, I want you to separate them.
Oh.
You know, really concentrate on your breathing. A lot of this has to do with you. So concentrate on your breathing, concentrate on them licking and yawning and blinking their eyes and both being fearful, and talk to him about how Tiger is scared also, and that's why he has big eyes.
Oh.
Yeah. I want to be friends, he says. I want to be friends. It's hard.
Well, he seems to be kind of like a bully. I mean,
sometimes nervousness can make a bully. I mean, I know people like that, too, who are really, really shy, and they seem like a bully. So it's just really getting to know animals. This is where animal body language is so important. You've got to watch them, and you've got to praise them for their signals. Okay, Adrian, I got to say goodbye to you because we have a few more minutes, and I want to make sure that I get Stormy's words of wisdom in.
Oh, okay. Well, thank
okay.
you so much.
Okay,
thank
good
you.
Luck.
Thanks.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay, everyone, we've got a few more minutes, and I want to get Stormy's words of wisdom in because Stormy wanted to say something earlier. Stormy, honey, what did you want to say earlier? I wanted to say that we should all pray for I and her mother. And I miss her on the show. And I want to say that everybody should know that animals need to blink their eyes and lick their mouths and yawn and stretch. And he says he also wants people to know not to be scared when you introduce your animals together. Because if you're scared, the animals get scared. He's giving Adrian advice now. And I want you all to know and that animals have their own issues. And if you teach them how to breathe and think about their behavior, they get better. And that's so true. So I want you all practicing this this week is to talk to your animals. I want you to really start picturing what you're saying to your animals. You always want to picture what you want them to do rather than what you don't want them to do. And really start, like, even when they're not in those situations, think really positive thoughts and explain to them the situations in a wonderful way. So next week, as you heard before, we've got Laurie Spagna on, who's another animal communicator, and she's going to be doing readings with me next week. So there's going to be two of us online, and that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that. You can all check out her website at laurispagna.com, and that's LORISPAGNA.com. And my website is thepetpsychic.com. Again, that's thepetpsychic.com. sign up for my weekly newsletter, and you'll get a new article every week. I'm going to have PDF books for sale pretty soon on the website, and I got videos on the website. Okay, everybody, thanks for joining me today. Talk to your animals, explain them everything, and be well.